So instead of Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, it's
Whiskey Foxtrot
Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've had a few of those nights. That was the exact order it went into.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Hello, this is Rich Hervig with Brightside IT out of Atlanta, Georgia, and you're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro. I'm David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. Joining me is Donna Grindle, hunkered down in Cardin.
Cardin International Headquarters now.
Yeah. So you below ground?
Yeah, it's Cardin Cave.
Cardin Cave?
The Cardin Cave.
Are they allowing you outside the house?
Only in my own yard.
So you're like, yeah, you're like the pet, right? You're out, yeah, in the backyard?
Yep.
Do you hike your leg up on a tree?
I have to stay within the fenced area.
You should do that anyway. Should always stay within the fenced area.
You know, I mean, it's the only difference for us is what work we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I have my daylight basement office, you know. I have, mm-hmm, a door I can escape down here. And, you know, that's normal work for me. So,
yeah. So, for a lot of people, things haven't changed a lot. You know, if you're a work from home type person anyway.
Yeah, that's the biggest change for a lot of people is not going to the office. Now, for me, it's I can't go anywhere, like anywhere.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. So
if
I guess
you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you've heard enough of my respiratory issues.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, whether I mention them or not, it's obvious I have them. So, yeah, you know, anyways.
Well, you know, we usually don't have to do this, but I think now we have to kind of tell people when we're recording because yeah, things are changing so rapidly.
Yes.
So, you know, as we record this, it is March the 20th. I was like, it is March, right? Yeah. So it was March the 20th, and you know, things are rapidly changing, but we are all pretty much at a work from home pace now. I think most people are.
I think so.
Yeah, that, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, around here, restaurants can only do drive in or through or up. So, which I did go to a restaurant a couple of days ago just to, you know, give them my business, and they were actually pretty busy.
Yeah, the drive-throughs are backed up everywhere.
Yeah,
at least I hear it. I don't get to go, you know, but I think I'm going to talk my way into going to a drive-through.
Well, I went through to a sit-down restaurant. There was no drive-through, and so you had to pull up in the parking lot, and you know, everybody was kind of trying to figure out, do I beep the horn? Do I flash my lights? Do I wait for somebody to see me? You know, how do I get somebody's attention? And this, you know, it was a local, you know, burger dive. So it's not like a big restaurant, but the one poor lady was running in and out of the restaurant just as fast as she could go, grabbing orders and taking orders. And I mean, it was, you know, I'm looking at this and really my first thought was, this is how it used to be, right? Mm-hmm. You used to have people that came to your car, took your order, and I mean, I know Sonic does that, but that's the way it used to be everywhere. Everything.
Well, we have the Varsity here in Atlanta. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have?
You know, people would come out and they would pump your gas, and people would bring your food out, and so it's, mm-hmm, kind of people returning to that level of service. Which, you know, for people like me, I'm like, yeah, I remember when there was a time that happened. For younger people, like, oh my gosh, can you believe this?
Oh, no. Isn't this weird?
Yeah. I was like, I remember when it was weird to pump my own gas.
Oh, yeah. I remember pulling up, my mom going, I'll have a dollar's worth.
Yeah, that filled it up.
Uh-huh. It was like, I'll take a dollar's worth. You know, yeah, think about that just for a second.
Yeah.
Although the oil prices are going down these days, so.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when kind of in that little transition period of, with the gas, that people would pull up and just sit at the pump. And it's like, you have to go to the other pump. The other pump is full service. And it's like, what? So you had to choose, you know, did you want to pull through the self-service pump or the full service pump?
Yeah.
So.
And then eventually.
Yeah, full service went away.
One choice.
Yeah.
So we're in that kind of transition period right now. Everybody's going to have to figure out a new normal.
Yeah. So what is that new normal? Of course, you've never been normal. So there's that.
Yeah, we go with that with me.
But today we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about, you know, how do we reboot our business? How do we get back to normal? Because it's not going to be the same normal that it was before. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to walk down that path together. So speaking of which, though, let's talk about something else that's not normal. We're not normally going. We're not doing the March boot camp. So that's that's not normal. Nope. Now the spring boot camp is in the fall.
Yep, it is.
And it's still the August. Spring boot camp.
We're just going to go, hey, we're having two boot camps. And here's when they are. Augusto and September.
Yeah. So I've got two big conferences that I was supposed to attend, and they're all moving to August and September.
I know.
So it's like every single week for 2 months, I've got plans to be out of town for something. Which,
yeah, and I'm not sure what's going to happen, you know? It's like, how are we going to do all of those things in a two-month period?
Yeah, I don't know. But I know when we get off today's recording, I got to call the airlines and try to cancel some flights and reschedule some flights. And it's just...
You know, I live in Atlanta, so of course, Delta. And, you know, for us, it's, you know, pretty straightforward. But Delta's like, please, if you do not need to travel in the next 72 hours, don't try to cancel stuff. Because the website's being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, they've had more cancellations than they've had revenue. And, I mean, this is going to have a major impact like nothing we've ever understood in our lifetime. I mean, we've had, you know, the wars and September 11th and, you know,
speaking of
financial
which,
crash.
Have you seen I think it was a meme. I heard about it, so I hadn't seen it, but it had something like your grandparents, the country asked them to serve in World War I or two. And then your parents, you know, the country asked them to serve in Vietnam and you are asked to stay home.
I know, right? And there's a ton of these kids not doing it.
I know. It's like the only thing your country asks of you right now is social distancing. They always
not go on spring break, which is, if you see, they're just like normal spring break.
Yeah. You know? It's like, stupidity still runs rampant, apparently. Yes, I said it.
You know, their brains haven't really matured until, what, 25?
I think it's now 95. I don't know. It's like, you know, I'm sorry your parents did drugs and you came out stupid.
Well,
that is a whole new pandemic that we can't solve for.
No, you know, what is it, Forrest Gump? Stupid is as stupid does. Okay, there you go. Well, let's let that go. But I think in I was sitting down trying to plan what we were even going to talk about today. I sent David a thing. I have no idea because it's changing so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changing so fast that maybe they'll all figure it out. But it's too late now. Never mind.
Yeah. I mean, we're already talking in our business about what are we doing moving forward? And, you know, beyond this, like, what is it going to look like in a couple of months? We know that some of our clients are going to be severely hit. Yeah. We're already getting phone calls asking for delayed payments and things like that, which is going to affect us. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at, okay, do we need to start calling vendors and asking for the same thing? Do we need to cut costs in other ways? Hopefully, you know, we're trying our best not to cut employees.
Right.
And, you know, and then on the other side of this, if all the work from home stuff is working great, do we want to just switch to a completely work from home model and not have an office, and you know, just lots and lots of questions. So that
I'm a big fan. I've been doing that for over 20 years.
So we're gonna dive into some of those questions today, because I think that those are things that businesses need to be asking themselves. What is it going to look like on the other side? Are we going to go back and try to do the same things we did before, or are we going to make some changes? And I think even if you're in a business where you can't choose to work from home on the other side of this, there's still some changes that you need to make.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that we all need to reevaluate in life. There are a lot of things that we have to reevaluate. And it's not just those parts, but we have to, from a business owner perspective, how are we going to reboot the economy? How are we going to reboot our businesses?
Yeah, lots of questions.
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I mean, you're changing. There's not a huge change for us, so to speak, you know, me and my business. But when everybody else, all of our clients are trying to get back to the new normal, they're going to rely on us to help them figure these things out. So I'm trying to be prepared for the questions and the requests we're going to get on the backside of this.
Mm-hmm.
As particularly as hard hit as healthcare is going to be. Financially, in many cases, other than surgery, they're able to continue to treat patients. Elective surgery that's not absolutely necessary is being put off just simply because the sheer volume of infections and reducing exposures and all of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But those things will happen on the backside as long as people have insurance and they can pay for it, which is a whole nother discussion we're not going into right now. But the vast majority can continue, like dermatologists can continue to treat patients using telemedicine to a certain extent. And many other specialties can as well. But then you've got the ones that are actually hands-on dealing with the virus. And they're going to have a whole different set of requirements to get their business back to normal. And that's what, after you and I were trying to figure this out, we said, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And that is what we're going to do.
Eventually, if we ever get around to it, instead of rambling like we're doing now.
All right. So that's our show for today, folks.
Yeah, quick and easy. We're clueless.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's so distracted now. It's like, which, you know, that's a whole nother thing you can rant about. Like, stop looking at the left hand because the right hand's doing something else. Oh, it always scares me when there's a big distraction like this.
Uh-huh.
Never know what's going on behind closed doors in other places.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers of concern.
I know.
With such a big distraction and so much going on and still trying to function and keep things moving. So
yeah.
Hopefully, if you're trapped, you're listening to Help Me with HIPAA to catch up on your learning and your entertainment at the same time.
You're binge listening.
Binge listening. There you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, businesses definitely need to. I mean, this is a time where, you know, people are going to want to contract, but it's also a great time to start expanding. Like, this is not the time to stop doing sales and marketing and things to grow your business, because if you don't do it now, it's going to make a bigger impact. So,
well, yeah, now's the time to be planning. It doesn't matter what your role is, you know, if you're in a technical role, use this time to go out and get some of those free sessions that are offered all over the place right now.
Mm-hmm.
Use this time to catch up on webinars or try to learn a new skill, any of those kind of things. You know, listen to every episode of Help Me with HIPAA. to get down and dirty, but it doesn't matter where you are in the bigger picture of our economy. Everyone could use this time productively in some way, but don't feel like, oh my God, I must be productive, because that just creates more stress. It's when you're ready to be distracted, here are some things we would like for you to think about.
Mm-hmm. This is true. All right, so we'll dive into that after a word from our sponsors. Did you know that 83% of healthcare organizations report a strong negative impact to their bottom line after a data breach? So many doctors think that they're HIPAA compliant and have nothing to worry about. Many of those organizations thought the same thing before it happened to them. Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 so they can assess your practice and help ensure you are protected and prepared. Visit CardinHQ.com to learn more.
Cybercrime is a multi-billion dollar industry and growing. How confident are you that your computer network can withstand a cyber attack? Can you afford to take the chance that what you have today will protect you? Call us and find out if the cybersecurity in your business is something you should be concerned about, or if you can rest easy knowing your business is protected. Visit us online at securityfirstit.com. That's securityfirstit.com. And schedule a time to talk.
All right, we're back. So, you know, as it is with computers, typically the way to fix things is simply reboot.
When in doubt, bail out.
So, with all the problems going on and things not quote unquote normal, the easiest thing to fix or easiest way to fix this is just reboot. So, we're going to talk about what a reboot for our business could potentially look like and things we need to consider. Indeed. So, during your boot up process,
there are a lot of things that take place. You just don't know it.
Yeah. So let's go into some of these. And I think the first one that we need to look at is, you know, do we need to pull out our risk assessments and look at, okay, how did this work?
You know, you could be doing that now. Yeah. Because I've said before that we've tried to get people to look at this in a more serious manner and a higher risk level. Mm-hmm. And I can't make people treat it like high risk if they're not gonna.
Right.
But the bottom line is, on your risk analysis now, you will have no excuse for not having two areas. One is, and we used, when I put pandemic as a threat, then everybody's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah. But then I put flu, and, you know, they get it. So I put flu, and you've got two areas of threat in this is, from a healthcare standpoint, if we're a provider, we're supposed to be able to maintain our business in order to continue treating patients. That's what our job is in healthcare. And if we're a business associate, we're supposed to be able to support the covered entities who are trying to do this, correct?
Absolutely.
That means if you're overwhelmed with patients as a covered entity, you need to know that your business associates are going to be there to keep your systems up and running, which is what David's group does. And you're going to need to know your billing company is going to be there to make sure the bills go out so that the money keeps coming in and you don't have time to do a lot of these things. Because I don't know if you saw, David, the administrative staff at the hospitals in Washington State mm-hmm. brought in sewing machines and went to Home Depot and craft stores, and they have an assembly line building their own PPE, personal protective equipment.
Just go to-
Have you seen those?
Yeah, but just go to Victoria's Secret. There's
oh, jeez.
Anyway.
Okay, I'm back now.
I gotta have some kind of humor in this mess.
I know, right? Yeah, we have to try to do the best we can to have everyone not hover over and buying toilet paper. I mean, I do have to go read the article where a Vietnam veteran has posted some video telling you how to do your business with one sheet.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I saw a lady on Facebook last night. She did a Facebook Live. She apparently ordered toilet paper, and she was not aware of what she was ordering. But she ordered like the industrial rolls. So, you know, the ones that are like a foot wide.
Yeah,
it's like a foot wide. And she ordered 12, but she didn't order 12. She ordered 12 cases of 12. So she's sitting there on Facebook Live holding this big roll of toilet paper that's like 18 inches in diameter. She's like, I had no idea what I was buying. If anybody needs toilet paper, I will meet you somewhere. And I don't know if she was giving it away or selling it or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, she basically was saying, I'm not trying to hoard this stuff. I just ordered the wrong thing. And it was hilarious.
And you know, that stuff's never soft.
No, it's not soft. It's like cardboard. But yeah,
it's just one layer below, you know, the paper towels.
Yeah. But, you know, I appreciate people that are saying, you know, I bought too much and or I'm trying to help somebody else out or whatever. Because, you know, honestly, when people go into this panic mode, it's like, where's the humanity? Like, why are we hoarding stuff? There's plenty out there for everybody if we keep doing things in a similar manner. But when everybody goes and starts making a run on everything, it causes all kind of issues.
Oh, yeah. There's so many unreasonable reactions. And it's time for us to remember it's not me versus you. It's us. And I think, I hope we'll see it, more of it anyway.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll change to that, but it does. It's concerning. Because you've seen the country pull together previously. You saw it in 9/11 and other things. When there are natural disasters, you see that happen. But when you see something like this that's so widespread, it's not in a region, it's global, people are not responding the same. They're not helping each other out. They're literally going, I got to protect me. I don't care what happens to you.
Well, this is more personal.
Exactly.
In many ways than the other things. But we better bring it back around to your security risk analysis. And, well, really, it does point out it is more personal. People are going to be worried about other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I talked about before. You know, in hurricane preparation, we had people have to worry about their own stuff. So your plan for your business needs to make sure that you have conversations with people in charge to say, let's make sure you have your family taken care of and all of those things that you would worry about so that you can worry about the business. So let me allocate resources that will help you so that I can have you worry about the business. Or I need to make sure I have resources available to help me so I can worry about the business.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to worry about the things so that I can focus on the business because it is personal. Yeah, each absolutely. And every one of us are, you know, there's a lot of people who know somebody who knows somebody we lost in the terror attacks of September 11th, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is... each and every one of us is under a threat.
Right.
And it changes the way everyone functions. Clearly, when you see people like pulling hair in a grocery store aisle over toilet paper or water, and neither one of those things have anything to do with the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. When you have that happening, how do you think people are going to, you know, be able to focus on their normal work? Well, we're seeing that right now.
Yeah.
On your security risk analysis, David, where are you going to rank a pandemic?
Nowadays, I think I would rate it pretty high.
Do you think after this is over, you should still rate it high?
I think so.
And would it behoove us to make sure we never rate it low?
I think now that people realize that, hey, this could be a thing, that, yeah, it should always be a high rating from here on out.
But is it, you know, this is 100 years since the last time we had anything like this,
mm-hmm.
which ironically, that's called the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
And history says it actually started in the United States right at the end of flu season. And then we took it to Europe and it really took root in Spain, which is why it's called the Spanish flu. But thank you, Spain, for taking on that history when we created it.
It's payback.
Yeah, but there's a reason that they don't name it those kind of things anymore, because especially today,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if 100 years ago people were able to move it across to Europe from the United States, now granted, it was World War I and they were sending soldiers, but if they could do that 100 years ago, move it from across the Atlantic, then today... Yeah, you know this thing's going to spread. Any country that doesn't report any cases, everybody's suspicious of them.
So maybe the virus has created humans so that we could build boats and planes to get them across the pond.
There you go. You never know. We shall not ever speculate on how this thing came about. Because you can see there's so many of these things out there now, and they're mm-hmm. mutating and changing and adapting to us and everything that we do. And once they hop from animals to humans, and granted, there's a million ways everybody always comes up with how these things moved. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the swine flu. Then you have
mad cow disease,
mad cow, the avian flu, all of these things. And this one, they just don't know. Most of the things, I always love it where they're like, you know, because they're like us. When somebody asks them a question, they're like, first, let me say, and then they do all this. Basically, they're saying, based on what I know right now, this is all I know. But really, I don't know.
Yeah. Based on what I know, I don't know.
It's a fact-based determination. I need more facts, and I don't have them right now.
Yeah.
But that's a decision that everyone's going to need to make, is do you say that now this thing has occurred, and regardless of how you feel about it, it has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, it happened. Do I change the way I treat that risk to my business, that threat to my business as a risk?
Yes.
That's first and foremost. But then I have to consider it. Even, let me rephrase that. Usually we wouldn't say you need to consider something that's a low risk item on your incident response plan. And that's why understanding that I don't see that you could ever consider this low risk anymore, then you need to have it on your incident response plan.
Mm-hmm.
Your ERP.
Yeah, because if you don't have an ERP, then what do you have? A LERP. A lack of incident response plan.
You got a LERP or an ERP?
And if you don't know which one, it's always a LERP.
If you're not sure, then it's a LERP.
Yeah. It also gives you a whole different feeling for what business continuity really means.
I know, right?
Or is they, you know, of course they changed the terminology. Now it's business resilience.
Oh, they're calling it that now?
Yes. I mean, they always had to come out with a new term.
Because then it makes it BRDR.
Yes.
Bathroom, dining room.
I have seen it say BRDR. Business resilience, yeah. is the thing now.
Well, just because you feel like you need to create a new name, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. We have to, can we keep our business up and running during hard times?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. We kept telling people, you got to worry about these things. I mean, how many times would we have that discussion, and that we've talked about it on an episode so many times it's not worth counting?
Yeah.
That the importance of understanding you need to have a plan.
Mm-hmm. And be careful of who you're talking to, because to some people, a business continuity plan means that you're able to recover from your backups.
I know. That's that's something that we've always battled. And I think this will give us a great opportunity because, you know, we would say, oh, you need to have a ransomware plan. Well, I have a backup.
Yeah.
But if your backup is accessible from your network, then your backup gets encrypted too. Do you have offsite disconnected backup? Because you should. And if your vendor says that you're gonna, that they have it covered, don't worry. What was the ad that we saw from the, it was a company that got attacked, but they said, you're safe with us.
Yeah.
Safe from ransomware.
Yeah. Was it, it was one of those dental things. I can't remember the name of it.
But the bottom line is, yeah, you need a backup and you need to worry about a lot of things with backup. And even that, most people don't worry about everything they're supposed to worry about with their backup.
Mm-hmm. I don't care about backup. I care about recovery.
Exactly. And how long will it take? And where will I go? And RTO and RTP or RP, what I'm saying.
Yeah, UFO and...
But those are things that most people who think they have a backup aren't even thinking about. They don't think about enough backup plan. Just saying I have a backup, not enough.
Mm-mm.
Let's take it the next step to say, well, how about working from home? Having your entire office need to work from home or work remotely. How are you going to do that?
Yeah. Now termed WFH.
Not WTF, WFH.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, because it didn't pre-reference it in the article, because I'm looking back going, what is WFH? And I'm sitting there, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, how is this related to WTF? and then finally it hit me. I was like, oh, working from home. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So instead of Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, it's...
Whiskey Foxtrot
Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've had a few of those nights. That was the exact order it went into.
Let's don't go down that rabbit hole. But everybody is having some level of understanding that, whether they're a student in many schools, I learned that the school your stepson goes to is not doing it, but many schools are doing, and again, there's going to be 15 names for this, distance learning, online classes, remote learning, all these different things, but it's all the same. I'm working from home. I'm going to school from home.
Yep. That's what I did in high school. I was remotely learning.
You were remotely, barely learning.
Yeah, exactly what it was. I remotely remember any of that stuff.
I remotely remember attending. I know most people can't believe that I was an honor graduate in high school and college.
Yeah,
yeah, really, I did. I don't know how either.
I physically attended class. I just wasn't mentally there. I was completely checked out.
Yeah, like you're mentally here right now. But the remote work thing is impacting a lot of other things that people hadn't thought about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really glad that we have our gigabit fiber connection.
Here we go.
But think about all the families that were like, you know, we only have, you know, this little bitty tiny connection because, well, we don't need it that much for anything. We get cable TV or we get this, or we get that.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's trying to work from one place,
mm-hmm.
or the kids aren't in school and you're trying to work, but they're streaming Netflix.
Yeah. Here's some issues we're seeing. Half of our clients have called us wanting to know if we have loaner laptops. No, we do not.
Yeah.
The pricing of hardware has gone up a lot.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, the delivery time for systems has gone up a lot. We are having people that are able to work from home. They realize that you know, the computer they bought 6 years ago is not able to connect remotely.
Not working so well.
Yeah, not able to do it. So, yeah. And then it's like, okay, we can work remotely, but I need to print back to my home. Okay, well, sometimes that's easy. Sometimes that's not so easy.
I know, right? When I've got a printer that requires a Windows driver and I'm trying to print something from a different kind of machine that doesn't support that specific Windows, I mean, it gets complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're running into a lot of issues with people working from home. And I'd say it's a toss-up between people that don't have machines and then the people that are trying to work from their home machines, which are old and decrepit and running Windows 98. It's terrible. I mean, seriously, these people's machines at home are terrible. And I know people aren't going to have like what I have because I'm in IT, but your home computer being that terrible, we know it's going to be that way because people don't need computers like at home like they used to. They use their cell phones to get online and do all this stuff. And so they've let the home computers go. And now we're at a time where, guess what? Now you need a home computer. You're figuring out that smartphones can't function very well doing business stuff, which is something I've always been screaming about.
Right. You can't work on them all day.
Right. And so, you know, people are forced into this real quickly. And it's like, yeah, how are you going to solve for that?
And again, here's the thing is a lot of people said, well, we'll just have everybody work from home.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. All right. Do they have any kind of internet connection that they could use? Because again, a lot of people don't even have an internet connection. They use their phone.
Yeah. Or it's your network is not set up to really allow that to happen, or your IT provider has done a great job securing things. And so when you come up and go, hey, now I need 15, 20, 30 people to be able to remotely access our office, and I need that done today. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
no,
that can't be done in a day.
Right. And it's not just them that are calling you saying they want it done today.
Exactly. So,
and you've got to worry about your staff too.
Yeah. It's a lot. You know? It is a lot.
You want them to show up at your office and configure all these things because I didn't plan for this.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard MSP say, we're not sending people on site. We are not sending our technicians to your business.
Yeah, we can't.
So,
I could say though, honestly, in healthcare, I would feel obligated. That's just me. But they hired me to keep the systems up and running. And when I signed a business associate agreement, I said I understood that this could be a situation. And my job is to keep those systems up and running so that they can treat patients. I committed to that. And just like they should have an incident response plan that includes that kind of stuff, I should have an incident response plan that includes that kind of stuff. But it's just one woman's opinion, I know.
Well, I don't know if you remember, I think it was last week, I told you we had a client that when we asked them what their plan and response to this was going to be, they were like, well, we're not in infectious disease, so we're not even looking at it.
Have you heard from them since?
They're in full freakout mode.
Yeah.
You know, and we asked them 2 weeks ago, what are you going to do? And they acted like this was not going to affect them.
Yep. Why are you asking? I don't understand.
Because
now, I feel good that, yeah, we were super, super busy until like 2 days ago, getting people ready for telehealth that they're trying to do on the fly. And it's not like they didn't have telehealth before. It's they didn't have telehealth designed to do this volume.
Right.
They would do like 1,500 visits across an entire system for a month. And now they're doing twice that in a day. There's a difference in having telehealth and having telehealth that can handle that.
Mm-hmm. What about productivity working from home and, you know, not not getting all crazy. Because, you know, working from home is not for everybody. It sounds great. Like, oh, I want to work from home. Yeah. And after you've been working from home for a few days and you're not around anybody else, or you have all the distractions and your kids are going nuts and all that, you're like, dude, I would give anything to go back to the office.
I saw a great meme that said something about how to work from home. And it was this woman that was sitting at her little desk. She had set up her computer on it, two monitors, looking good, got her headphones on. She's looking good. And then when you realize you get panned down a little bit further, there's a rug behind her with three children literally tied up and tape across their mouth, right?
Mm-hmm. I saw that one.
Yeah. But I love the comment of cybersecurity guy, Chris Roberts, that I follow online. And he's got a great sense of humor. He's super, super smart. And he drinks whiskey. My kind of guy. But he posted a comment on that meme that said, yeah, but you got to catch a burst. He recommended tranquilizer darts.
That's not hard these days. You just, you know, you've got all these devices that are glued to. They don't move very much.
They don't move as fast. They don't see you coming.
It's like, you know, they're sloths nowadays. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
But that productivity is impacted by not only your family. We were talking with a friend of ours, who's an attorney, and she's a criminal defense attorney who has to go to the jail.
Mm.
And we haven't even talked about the impact that this could have on healthcare that has to work with the local jails. Now, we have a client that does that. It gets in the jail. How are you going to social distance them? You know, what are you going to do? So there's other issues along those lines, and she's got to worry about, you know, anybody that's in there that I can get out, I need to get them out because I can save their life. But at the same time, her husband is working from home, and her two grown children are also going to be at home. Well, one's a senior in high school. One, it was on her semester away in Australia and had to come home. But she's like, the house is going to be full of people. I don't know where I'm going to work. So the productivity itself, not what everybody thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And just the fact that you feel this need to go see how many cases there are. It's like now that number keeps going up, and it's almost like, what's the score of the game? I have to keep checking it. I don't know how other people are productive. I know it's hampered our productivity just because you're distracted by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you distracted by it, David?
You know, I've kind of not practiced following the news a lot, and during the day when I'm working, I don't follow Facebook and things like that either. So
I don't do Facebook at all.
So. Yeah. So I tend to kind of isolate myself during working hours anyway. So it's, it hasn't been that big of a deal. So what I end up having to do is, like, on my way home, I'm listening to the news on the radio, or I try to catch what's going on, you know, in the evenings. But during the day, I've pretty much created the illusion that I am isolated from the world.
Well, you know, I'm on these listservs where everybody's sending all this information, and it's with a healthcare provider. So I have to be in there. I've already handled the fact that they came out and said, you don't have to use secure apps for telemedicine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but let's get this down right now. I don't recommend doing that except as a last resort.
Yeah.
Because we both know if the patients and the clinicians ever get started doing it not secure, it'll just be brutal to get them back into a secure environment.
Yeah, because if, you know, once they start, you know, good grief. I mean, it's great that they have the option to do that, but if they can make sure they understand that that is temporary and it is not best practice and it is not compliant.
And they need to make sure that they say that to their patients that this is not secure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the last thing you need is something getting out. They at least said don't use like Facebook Live.
It's funny that you even have to say that, but yes.
I know. It seems logical to me. However.
Yeah.
Comma. Right. But needless to say, when we look at all the things that we're going to have to do, you need to take the time, and I know it will be crazy, but take the time now and start making notes about what you would do differently and how you would plan things. Would you have someone who can get you spare computers? And we've talked about that over and over, David. Mm-hmm. How many times do we talk about people, oh, well, IT, if you have to replace all your computers, how are you going to do that? Oh, I just call IT.
Yeah, not likely to happen.
Again, I'll just call IT along with all of the other clients that the IT provider has.
Mm-hmm.
And expect them to be just sitting there waiting on your call with all the computers you need.
Yeah.
And in this case, especially with computers, most of the parts come from Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And not just China, but all over Asia. And I remember when the flooding in Taiwan had flooded out the hard drive companies. Tons of hard drives were made there.
Yep.
And it impacted us getting hard drives. Well, now all the parts are not coming in because people are social distancing there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can't make the computers, I can't get you a new one.
Yeah.
Well, you need to have better plans.
Some other things to consider, because we're forcing people into it, right? Is, and we talk about this in the boot camp all the time. How are you going to communicate with your team? You know, yes. We're seeing people looking at things like, do I have a chat app like, you know, Slack or Teams, you know, Microsoft Teams or Google Hangouts or whatever they decide to call it right now. If you're
Meet.
Yeah, if you're
Google Meet.
Pay or if you're, I think you have to be on a paying plan to get to that. But and some of these people are releasing, you know, they're like, here, we're going to make it free for right now. And so you're able to get, you know, in some cases you're able to get Zoom or Teams or some of these other ones. But, you know, this is not the time to say we're going to learn a new platform. So, you know, having those things in place beforehand and even using them beforehand makes a big difference. Because,
well, at least put it in your plan that you're going to need time to do that.
Right.
And that someone's going to have to teach people how to do it.
Mm-hmm. So you got all this other crisis stuff happening. It trying to throw a brand new piece of software at people and say, here, learn this. Matter of fact, it's going to be critical that you learn this within the next 30 minutes because this is how we're going to communicate. Not too good.
You look at even, we had one, a cardiologist group that we work with. They're trying to figure out, okay, we want to do telemedicine. But then our concern is most of our patients won't understand how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also supposed to be social distancing and their grandchildren can't come help because they're on spring break. So,
bring it back around.
Yeah, there you go. It's, you know, it's the way we do it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that we have to figure out and we have to update. You have to have termination checklists for those that you had to let go, if you had to let people go, unfortunately. You have to have onboarding checklists because we know we'll eventually ramp back up and hire more people.
Yeah, and this is another bottleneck for IT. You know, mm-hmm. when you turn in yes. loose, you know, I don't know how big your organization is, but, you know, if you're sizable, you're turning loose 100 employees at one time. That's a lot of people to turn off their emails and figure out what to do with their data and turn off their access to systems. I mean, that's a project.
Because if they're at home and bored and still have access.
And mad.
And mad. I'm just saying, you and I both know.
Yeah.
We've heard that. But you also have to be planning, what are you going to do when you reboot everything and bring everybody back online?
Yep.
Are you going to continue to do remote work? Are you going to change your business model? I mean, you're even talking about, can we run our company without having a brick and mortar office?
Yeah. Which, I mean, luckily our company was built from the ground up to be able to work remotely. Yeah. It's just a matter of, do we want to do that from a team standpoint? So
right.
It's a little different. The concerns I have are a little different. It's not, can we do it? It's, you know, the health of our people.
Do you want to do it?
Right. And, but yeah, so the other thing is, people are always talking about, should I stay on premise with some of my stuff? Should I go to the cloud? I think that's another question that's going to come up, you know, mm-hmm. because I mean, obviously there's some advantages and disadvantages, no matter which one you pick.
Yep. Well, right now, if you have cloud services, at least you don't have to worry about the bandwidth in your office mm-hmm. supporting everybody coming in there to use the tools.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's one thing to be able to support one or two people working from home, but when you are supporting 20 people or 50 or 500, it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to evaluate how much is that going to impact your decision when you're bringing things back online, and do we still have to worry about social distancing? Do I need to make sure that I'm not bringing all of my employees back in at the same time?
Yeah, so there'll be a resurgence of infections.
Yeah. Well, everybody kind of expects that to happen.
Yeah.
It's not like this thing's going to go away.
Yep.
And really, we all know right now, this is about flattening the curve. This isn't about reducing the infections. It's about extending out the amount of time it takes to get that many people infected.
Yeah. And then getting back to running things securely, because you know security went out the window.
Although it shouldn't. And I'm still terrified there's going to be a major attack on somebody.
Well, I did see that a hacker group said that they were going to suspend all attacks on healthcare for now. I'm serious as I can be. I did see that.
Well, and you, I hope so.
And you can trust them because
they're criminals. Everybody trusts their criminals. I did see a police department that did publish something like on Twitter or somewhere that said, since we're all social distancing, we would appreciate it if the criminals would respect social distancing as well. And withhold their criminal activity until we can all get back to normal.
Yeah, I know. I pulled over the other day and I was like, sorry, officer, I cannot roll my window down. You're too close.
Step away from the vehicle.
He's like, I need you to step out. No, I cannot.
not with you right there.
You got to back up 20 feet. Downwind, too.
I know. In a small town in Michigan, a friend of mine, her sister is a police officer, and when we ask how are they doing, because I'm worried about first responders too. I think there's something that 200 first responders are now somewhere like DC or something I saw this morning. But they said, we have stopped doing traffic stops.
Oh, wow.
That's their social distancing. But if you think about it, they're in the patrol cars, and that would be the time that they would encounter the most people.
Mm-hmm.
But I worry about first responders. I'm worried about making sure when we come back to work, we don't have another outburst because everybody tries to do it without thinking it through and making a plan. Yep. So let's plan, people. So we've rambled pretty well through this.
Yeah, we did. So
this is what happens when we have no real plan.
And then probably another year or two from now, we'll be talking about all the OCR investigations that happened due to this?
Well, they have, you know, said they're going to use their enforcement discretion.
Yeah.
But the thing is all of those cases that were backed up that we expect to see come out this year, that's still going on because those folks can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do their work. So you're going to see those come out when things get, and everybody's going to be up in arms about it.
Yeah. Well, they're going to use their enforcement discretion, but they did not say they will suspend enforcement.
No. And that's what I was trying to be clear about. Oh, because somebody said HIPAA is going to be suspended. No.
Oh, nay.
Uh-uh. No, it's not suspended. They've waived some requirements with discretion on enforcement. Mm-hmm. It does not suspend it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean now you can go, hey, Irma over here tested positive. Everybody stay away from Irma and her husband, Bob, and their four kids.
And the nurses get on Facebook Live and tell everybody.
Uh-huh.
We have five cases walking to the place today.
and name and claim them all. So.
Stay away from. I ain't gonna say who it is, but I'm just gonna say stay away from 1226 Main Street. All right. Well, that is our show for today, folks. I think we've given you a lot to think about when you push that button and reboot and get everything back to what is going to be the new normal. So let us know how you feel about getting back to the new normal. You can email Donna at Donna at.
Really? Seriously? Really?
Okay. So don't email Donna. That's fine. Send it to contact at helpmewithhippa.com. All right. Thanks for listening. Make sure you share this out. And if you're on Facebook or any other social media site, which I know you are because you have nothing else to do, then share this out. So remember for Donna and myself that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhippa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.